silence to reflect upon our responsibility to our students, our employees, and our taxpayers. And that will be followed by the pledge of the flag. Please rise. Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. It appears that all of our board members are present this evening. I should point out that on Monday, November 4th, the board met an executive session for legal and personnel matters, and we also had a short meeting prior to the night's meeting to address similar legal and personnel matters. Now we will move to approval of the agenda for this evening.
Mr. Williams, I'd like to move to approve the agenda with a slight tweak. I'd like to vote on consent item 8F separately from the rest of the consent items.
We have a motion to approve the agenda as amended. Any questions or comments? All in favor of approval of the agenda, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Our agenda is approved. And now it's our first of two opportunities for public comment. If any member from the public would like to come forward to one of the microphones, state your name and address, and make a brief comment.
Hi, my name is Lula Muller. I am from 28 West Main Street, Park Hill, Dallas, PA. And I wanted to make a comment about the current early graduation policy. Last update in 1990. And I was wondering if we could look at altering that or altering current graduation requirements, because currently I'm looking at attempting to graduate end of this year, my junior year, and finding a way to make a big half credit I'm missing, and seeing if we could get the school district to be able to change their policy to allow that, primarily for the reason of entering college a year early, so I would be able to qualify for a FAFSA, which to qualify for that, you need a high school diploma.
Very good. I think Mr. Bensel is the chairman of our policy committee, and I think at your next meeting we'll probably take a look at that. Yeah. So thank you.
Thank you.
Any other public comment? Now we come to sort of a highlight of the evening and beyond, and that is the oath of office for our new superintendent and assistant superintendent, Dr. Dyer.
Thank you, Mr. Bowens. Good evening, everyone. And indeed, it is a very special occasion. We see family and friends here to support our new superintendent and assistant superintendent. Tonight is a very special occasion as we mark the orderly transition between superintendents, both the superintendent and the assistant superintendent, after their respective approvals earlier this fall by the board. We are pleased to have the Honorable Todd Klass here, who will administer the oath of office for the PDE Commission. By doing it on this date, this allows them to go through the PDE process and have it in effect for January 1st, 2020. Although you could take over tonight. He threatens me with it. If it snows, it would be 6 a.m. or so on January 1st.
January 2nd.
But in all seriousness, Honorable Judge Klass, would you please?
Dr. Dahl,
Dr.
Good evening, everyone. Dr. Dyer, board members, family and friends of Dr. Heffler and Dr. Thaw. I'm delighted and honored to be here to swear both of these wonderful public servants, public educators into their new offices. I do want to wish Dr. Dyer, and I know a couple of the board members who are stepping off, to thank you for your service to Dallas Town Area School District and our community at large. As I shared with both Josh and Dr. Heffler, I'm a very proud product of public education. I did go to your suburban, don't hold that against me. You proud Trojan versus the Wildcats. No blustering against me. But, you know, I've always been one, having been blessed with a great mom and dad and had a great education, K-12, that to me, public education really embodies what makes America the land of opportunity for all. Is because we all have that right to get a good education. And today we celebrate that with the installment of two new leaders in our school district here in Dallastown. So Josh, Dr. Heffler, it's a privilege to be here to perform your oath of office, and I wish you both great success. I know we're in great hands. It will be interesting to see come January 1st when it snows, how things go. we can joke about that, but I know that this district, its students, its faculty, its staff, taxpayers, community at large are in great hands with the two of you who have a long history here serving in your county and here in this district. So no further delay. Josh, you ready? You can raise your right hand. I state your name.
I, Joshua Bell.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support, obey, and defend.
That I will support, obey, and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of this Commonwealth.
And the Constitution of this Commonwealth.
And that I will discharge the duties of my office.
And that I will discharge the duties of my office.
With fidelity.
With fidelity.
Congratulations. I state your name.
I, Erin Heffler.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support, obey, and defend.
That I will support, obey, and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of this Commonwealth.
And the Constitution of this Commonwealth.
And that I will discharge the duties of my office.
And that I will discharge the duties of my office.
With fidelity.
With fidelity.
Congratulations. Servants since I was about 12, 13. And my mom would have said, wanted to be president since about that age. I'm not sure I was that crazy back then. But one of the things I've always admired is those who serve on our school district boards of directors. Because when you think of public service, this epitomizes it, because these board members serve for great pay, zero, put it up with lots of pros and cons they hear about. But when we think of a servant who gives them themselves for the greater good, for no pay, but for the greater good, our school members represent that in the highest fashion that you can imagine. So I'm honored to publicly thank each of you who are on the board for what you do. And we're really, I think, different than the rest of the world because of service such as yours, of giving of yourselves just for the good of others. Wish you all well, and thank you for your leadership and service.
And now I'll get out of your way.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
For your comments. On behalf of the board, I would like to offer our sincere congratulations to both of you. We have the utmost confidence in you and look forward to working with you to continue our constant pursuit of excellence. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Congratulations. Taking you to a technology break here. Now we go from swearing in to a stepping down. But Mike, if you would join Dr. Dyer and I in the front. Well, we'd like to sort of take this time to recognize you for your 8 years of dedicated service to Dallas Town. You have consistently demonstrated deep devotion to the advancement of our district. You've been a strong advocate for the issues and programs that you believed in. You were not one to go along with the crowd unless you were firmly supported it. And we could count on you to make sure that our board saw both sides of the issue. We'll miss your insight and your analytical skills, which are significant, okay? And on behalf of the board, we thank you for your service and wish you the best of health and happiness.
On our side, for administration, teachers, and staff members, we want to thank you for your passion, your dedication, your zeal, your brilliance. We've never seen somebody put a spreadsheet together and kind of plan that for the next 5 years, detailed work.
In 30 seconds.
And 30 seconds. And then color-coded it. But you care deeply about students, the professionalism of this district, and its future. We thank you for that. As a small token of the 8 years of service, we'd like to give you this. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Any other comments that board members would like to make? You said some good things, don't have a lot to add, but I have to say, you know, like you said, Mike is a data guy. Before you leave, you're going to have to show me where you find those 5,000 line PBD Excel files.
I got the link.
Okay. And Mr. Bud said, he always lives conscious and definitely not afraid of an 8-1 vote, is what he believes. And Mike is always very good at seeing fastballs that come at us a lot, and I appreciate that. We don't always hit them, but you throw them out to us, so I appreciate that. Thank you.
I appreciate your being down here to do this and to be able to work with me. I appreciate that you helped me turn decisions inside out and think about them in very deep and broad ways that maybe I especially as a newbie, didn't do. And I'm just going to miss your position. I always knew where you stood, and I like that about what you brought to us. I'm going to miss you.
I've known Mike for a while. Our kids are the same age. We played ball a lot together and had the same teams and stuff. And then when Margaret resigned and I had the interview for the position, there was another person running. So it's humbling to sit there and they vote and go around there and Mike votes no. This is a tough crowd.
You never forgot that.
But I mean, it's all good. I still made it. 90% of the time, Mike and I would agree, but the great thing about Mike, when we disagree, is sometimes we really disagree. After that night, hey, we're back to normal under the next subject, and I really appreciate that, so thanks. I miss you.
A lot of what I wanted to say has already been said. I don't always remember Mike as being one of the five that came in with myself and really came in at a difficult time and wasn't afraid to speak up and to do what was right for our community. It's invaluable. I don't think I had the same agreement rate with Mike as Steve did.
We got the 50.
But we did. But to be honest, I think that's what makes this board great, is we need to have the diverse opinions, because if you have that, if we can make it work at this level and we have firm representation at this level, when we roll it out to the public, I think that's really why we are where we are with our public, with the lack of pitchforks the way it was 8 years ago. It's because we are thorough, we are diverse, we do put out a lot of different thoughts. A lot of that is because of Mike, because we aren't all in full agreement, and he does have a great way of looking at it. I will have utmost respect for anyone who serves in this position, because it is tireless. And I do appreciate and greatly respect Mike for his commitment to our organization and for the commitment they have given. And I will consider him a friend for the rest of our time. Thank you for being on the Dallas Conference. Appreciate it.
Mr. Cardano. I'm sorry to drag this out, Mike, but I agree with everything that has been said to this point, but I want to add one particular thing. As the second newest board member at this table, everything that Judge Platt said about this board and what we do is 100% accurate, and it's very difficult to get up to speed when you become a member of the board. And there's a lot of pieces to the puzzle, and there's a lot of things to get your arms around, and I just wanted to publicly say a thank you to Mr. Knoll. Whenever I didn't understand anything, he was always right there to help me understand or walk me through it, not make me feel like I didn't know what the hell I was talking about. Can I say that? No. Not know what the heck I was talking about. Very open to explaining things, talking about things. And I just wanted to say thank you for that. It's a challenge being a new board member in general, and that the openness of him and the rest of the board made that easier.
Any other comments?
Again, everyone has said so much, but thank you, Mike. It's made the 8 years go by quick. I will miss our lengthy conversations we've had in the past. And like everyone else has said, I do appreciate you making us think instead of just going along with things. You brought that to us, made us a better board, so I appreciate that. And I do also always appreciate the fact that we may not have agreed, but we never walked away angry at each other. So thank you, and again, I'll miss you, because we've been through a lot in the 8 years, but I think we've accomplished a lot together, and I appreciate that we've been able to do that. Thank you.
Mr. Noel.
It's going to be short and sweet, so I just don't feel like doing a dissertation tonight, but I thank everybody for comments. Yeah, you're right. If you look back, I probably have the most to do about saying anybody on board, my record, short of Carol. But, I just want to thank everybody that I've dealt with over the years, board members, staff, administration, teachers, parents, people who have thrown some money around in Surefire or in Sheets or along the way and asked different things about what's happening, what's going on. It is a tireless job. I mean, what we do, we spend a lot of time up here. It's a lot of effort, notwithstanding what everybody else does either. I like to think we did everything for the greater good. I like to think we've done some transformative things. I know we did, but there's a lot more to be done, right? I mean, it doesn't end here. Ms. Hosler's coming on, and I know she's going to do a good job, and there's a big ramp, and don't fear it, go get it, right? So. There's a lot that's going to happen here in the next couple of years. It's the right group of people up here. As taxpayers and as parents, we should trust in them because he put us here, so we trust us in the first place. So keep it open. state your opinions, come up, do public comment. Love having somebody come from and tell us there's something we need to fix, right? Because we don't always know all the problems we have. So we, you know, we always joke, how many people are in the public tonight? Well, three, four, right? And one spoke. So thank you for doing that. I encourage you to do that. I just encourage everybody else to do that. Thank you.
Let's give Mr. Noah a hand. And on December 5th, I think it is, Mrs. Hosler will be sworn in as Mr. Noah's successor. And we look forward to working with you. Okay, let's move on to the superintendent's report. Dr. Dunn.
Thank you. One of my last two reports, the second from the end. And enrollment is a consistent theme that I keep bringing up. And tonight, the same and a little bit deeper. Growth areas and demographic trends continue to be a focus of the board and the administration. Currently, we have 6,428 students enrolled in the district, which puts us at about 85% capacity throughout the district. That's important for us to know and be watching. The high school, though, is in its 90s. It's about 98% capacity. And schools such as Dallastown Elementary have met capacity in grades K and 3. And Loganville, Ward Valley, and York Township, along with the intermediate school, have 24 or more students at several levels. So we are examining class sizes throughout the district, and as I mentioned to the board, I'll be making some personnel recommendations in December to deal with some of that. School events debrief. Veterans Day is always very special in our district, with schools and the JROTC hosting displays, ceremonies, and assemblies to honor our veterans. Dr. Dome and I did several of those, and as the fathers of military men right now, they happen to both be men, it really warmed our hearts, and we were moist out, to be honest. I get choked up being talking about it. Beautifully done, and very meaningful. A number of veterans, some of whom had great mobility problems, that made sure they attended these events. Beautiful. And I want to believe that because we have school on that day, we are able to have full participation of our students, staff members, and the community that we might not otherwise have. So again, we thank those principals and others in the audience this evening who helped to host those events. It means a lot. Two other special events that occurred were the business advisory gathering. We met with them between 2012 and 2015, and to be honest, we got a lot of good information from them that advised us and gave us data and other ways to mark where we need to go with our secondary redesign. So it was good to get back and meet with them again. And then, Mr. Tad Gold, I just can't say enough about what occurred with his healthcare summit. He does one every year, but this one was truly amazing. It started with a scenario that was also assisted with the help of WellSpan. And the scenario was a student who was texting, who did a telephone poll, and then was transported into the emergency room. Now, it opened up with a video of that occurring. And of course, it was acted. It was a scenario, but it was very well done. And then the screen lifted, and there on the stage, in front of all of these students, was the admission, and then the emergency room. And they took everybody in the audience through what occurred there. We had students from 11 districts with the help of YCAL. We publicized it. You could have heard a pin drop in all of the 2.5 hours that this occurred. And I bet that a whole bunch of students will now be greatly inspired to get into the healthcare professions. And that's what our pathways are about. It's about inspiring boys and girls to make decisions about their future. And nothing could have been more vivid than that. So I do want to give a huge shout out to about 60 people from WellSpan who worked to create the video, who put together the scenario, who took time away from their jobs and the care of others to inspire our students with a very realistic scenario. Very, very well done. And other items are listed on the calendar, and we have a Thanksgiving holiday break coming up, and we wish you all a very happy Thanksgiving. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Dyer. Any questions for this report? Okay, let's move on to the consent items. Mr. Fisher, any late-breaking additions to the personnel report?
Nope. No additions, but I do have to make one note. Under Section A of new hires, we have a ROTC instructor at the high school. It should be noted for the record that's contingent upon execution of this agreement, which should happen tomorrow.
Okay, very good.
Why don't we take action on consent item HF first, and then we will take another action on the remaining consent items. So I'll entertain a motion for approval of HF.
I'll make a motion to approve action item HF as presented.
I'll second. Any questions or comments? Okay, call the roll, please.
Mrs. Trout?
Yes.
Mr. Pantano?
Yes.
Mr. Knoll?
Abstain.
Mr. Lytle?
Yes.
Mrs. Heaston?
Yes.
Mr. Hartman?
Yes.
Mr. Bensel?
Yes.
Mr. Wingard?
Yes.
And Mr. Blevins?
Yes. Action item F is approved. Now we'll move to take action on the remaining consent items in number 8.
I'll make a motion to approve the remaining consent items, except on the F that we just voted on.
I'll second that.
I have a motion and a second. Any questions or comments?
Yes, Mr. Blevins, I have a quick question. It wasn't a big enough item for me to bring up during the agenda approval, but items 8K through N are approvals of field trips. I don't recall having field trip approvals as part of consent in prior meetings. I seem to recall that they were separate. We had a short presentation, we were able to ask questions about each individual one. I don't know that it would change my vote. I'm not standing up and saying it's a problem. I sort of just liked it the way it used to be, and if we're going to move it to a consent item, then perhaps we can talk about that at a future time for future meetings.
Yeah, I that's a good point. I think it was under the advice of our solicitor that we consolidated some of the items into consent items to be consistent with other districts, but certainly the will of the board will prevail here. If we want to go back to having field trips as a separate action item, that's certainly fine with me. So, any other thoughts on that?
Just want to think, Mr. Pantano makes a good point. We can talk about this at future meeting. I would just maybe point out, especially international trips, we want to highlight this.
Okay.
For further discussion, it's not that you brought up this evening.
Any other questions or comments? Okay, call the roll, please.
Mrs. Trout?
Yes.
Mr. Pantano?
Yes.
Mr. Knoll?
Yes.
Mr. Lytle?
Yes.
Mrs. Heaston?
Yes.
Mr. Hartman?
Yes.
Mr. Bensel?
Yes.
Mr. Wingard?
Yes.
And Mr. Blevins?
Yes. The consent items are approved. Okay, let's move on to our action items. We have four this evening, the first of which is the acceptance of the annual audit report. Mr. Hartman.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Blevins. I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Wilson. I'm just sure about anything that I'll turn it over to our friend, Mr. Wilson.
I think we need to take another brief technology break here.
Hoyer and Ritter performs this audit on an annual basis.
and we've been, come through, and every year we have provided a couple documents I'm going to review with you tonight. First document, there's three documents. There's a required communication letter, and the full annual audit report, and there's also a management letter that was issued by our firm. Talk briefly about each of them. First of all, the required communication letter really just lays out the terms and conditions. You know, it talks about the school district's responsibility for the preparation of the financial statements. What Poyer Ritter is responsible for doing is looking at this 104-page document and determining whether or not these financial statements are prepared consistent with generally accepted accounting principles. So that's the first thing that we lay out there. Secondly, we identify the fact that through the course of our audit, there were some minor adjustments that were made to the original trial balances, primarily as, you know, basically all the information was coming into the school district as we were preparing the audit or preparing for the audit. But that none of those adjustments were significant to the monthly financial reporting processes that results in financial information coming to you. So that speaks to the underlying integrity of the information that you're getting on a routine basis. We do point out that there were two additional accounting standards that were adopted, but that they were not of any significance to the school district this year. Every year, the Government Accounting Standards Board continues to issue new standards that we have to continue to adhere to. We also point out in there that there are significant standards that are coming on the horizon as it relates to your fiduciary activities, your student activity funds, as well as how we treat and report leases, whether it be real estate or equipment, from a financial standpoint, and how you report them in your financial statements. Finally, we point out, and also very importantly, that throughout the audit process, we felt like we had full and unfettered access to financial records, to staff. They were very open and forthcoming with us as we performed our audit procedures, that we did not have any disagreements with management, and that there were not any difficulties encountered during the audit process. That's a very high-level summary of the required communication letter. The 104-page audit report, I'm not going to go through page by page.
Thank you.
You guys have a full agenda tonight. But I'm going to touch on the three reports that Poyer & Ritter issued. The first report has to do with your financial statement audit. And I'm pleased to report tonight that Poyer & Ritter issued a clean or unmodified opinion on your financial statements. So Poyer & Ritter is basically saying that the 104-page document is issued basically in accordance with the financial accounting standards for governments, what they call the GASB, GASB standards, and their GAAP compliant. The second thing we point out in this same letter is that there's a management discussion and analysis that your management team writes. That's about 25 pages in length. For the layperson who's jumping into these financial statements for the first time, this is where I would recommend that you start. It's written for the layperson to read. Anybody cracking open these statements should be able to go through and read them. It talks about budget actual variances. It provides year-over-year analysis, and it also talks about, you know, long-term trends as it relates to capital assets as well as long-term debt. It's required by the accounting standards boards to make it very easy to kind of understand what's going on from an organizational standpoint. So at the end of the day, again, Poyer & Ritter issued a clean opinion. The second type of report that we issue has to do with the fact that the school district gets about $3.8 million every year in federal awards. Because of that, where there essentially has to come in on behalf of the federal government and look at the funds and certain programs and issue an opinion on whether or not the school district is handling them in compliance with the laws and regulations that the federal government has laid out. One of the programs that you have that we've tested this year is the Child Nutrition Cluster, your school lunch program.
And so what we have to do is we have to come in and we have to look at the processes and systems that the school district has in place to, you know, understand what the compliance rules are related to the program, and then to turn around and to stay compliant. So we're looking at both the substructure, you know, what are the processes and systems you have in place, and then ultimately, we're issuing an opinion on whether or not you were ultimately compliant. So with regard to how you did overall from a compliance standpoint, the school district has earned a clean opinion, an unmodified opinion with regard to compliance over the school, the child nutrition cluster. And then secondly, with regard to the internal controls over compliance, you also basically get a clean bill of health where we basically state that there are no significant deficiencies or material weaknesses that need to be reported to the Department of Education, to you as the board, the public, and to the federal government. So that's a very good report. The third and final report that we look at is it's called the Yellow Book Report, or it's Government Auditing Standards. And in that report, we talk about whether or not when you put together this 104-page document, whether or not there are any material weaknesses or significant deficiencies in your internal control over your financial reporting. And that's very different than just the compliance piece we just talked about. And in here, again, the school district has earned a clean report. So congratulations are certainly in order to Kurt and Miranda and the financial team, as well as the board, as they kind of oversee these processes, you know, throughout the year. We did issue a management letter that we discussed with, you know, the management team and with the board and other parties as well. But overall, the audit went very well. Are there any questions? We certainly appreciate the opportunity to serve the school district.
Your question, I'll thank Mr. Wilson, I'll thank Quarry and Ritter, and I'd like to note for the public, some of the board did meet earlier tonight and went through the 104-page document in a little more detail than we just did here. And as is our practice, we meet with some of the administration, and also we meet just with the board and Quarry and Ritter privately to ask whatever questions you want to ask. And as Mr. Wilson presented, it is a clean report. We come to expect it, but we also don't take it for granted. The work of Ms. Hopper-Weaver and Mr. Warball and the entire administration here to have this level of transparency in their reporting. So thank you for that. And during the meeting, we also had a couple ideas for future finance meeting topics. So we look forward to that. So, with that, I make a motion that we accept the report, action item 9A.
Second. A motion and a second. Any questions or comments? Call the roll, please.
Mrs. Trout?
Yes.
Mr. Pantano?
Yes.
Mr. Knoll?
Yes.
Mr. Lytle?
Yes.
Mrs. Heaston?
Yes.
Mr. Hartman?
Yes.
Mr. Bensel?
Yes.
Mr. Wingard?
Yes.
And Mr. Blevins?
Yes. The audit reports are approved. Thank you, Mr. Wilson and Z for attending tonight.
Thank you.
And now we'll move on to 9D, which is approval of a resolution related to our taxes. Mr. Hart.
Thank you, Mr. Blevin. Last week at the Finance Committee meeting, we did discuss this, and this is the approval to not go over the authorization to not go over the Act 1 index. It doesn't mean anything at this point, other than we won't go over the index. It doesn't mean we will or will not pay taxes, but just that we won't go over the index. So with that, I'll recommend a motion for action item 9B.
Second. The motion and a second. Any questions or comments? Okay, call the roll, please.
Mrs. Trout?
Yes.
Mr. Pantano?
Yes.
Mr. Knoll?
Yes.
Mr. Lytle?
Yes.
Mrs. Heaston?
Yes.
Mr. Hartman?
Yes.
Mr. Bensel?
Yes.
Mr. Wingard?
Yes.
And Mr. Blevin?
Yes. 9B is approved. Now we'll move to 9C, which is the purchase of matting for pole vaults and high jump pits.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Blevins. This was fed to the finance committee last week. It was also spoken about last spring, as these have been in some poor shape for some time now. So it was the finance team's recommendation to approve, and now we'll make a motion to approve action item 9C.
I'll second that.
Motion and a second. Any questions or comments? All in favor of approval of action item 9C, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Okay, it's approved. And final action item of the evening is the appointment of our nominating committee in advance of our upcoming reorganization meeting. At our last meeting, I asked for anyone who was interested in serving on the nominating committee to let me know. And so far, I thank Mrs. Trout and Mrs. Easton and Mr. Knoll for indicating a willingness to do this. Oh, excuse me, Mr. Lytle. My bad. If anyone else is interested in serving, we will have to take a vote. If not, we will just entertain a recommendation, a motion to approve the three people that came forward. If there's more than three that are interested, then we will have to go through a process of voting on letters. So if anyone else is interested in putting their name in the pot, now's your chance. Okay. Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion to approve the three people that have been named.
I'll make a motion to approve Mr. Lytle.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor of Mr. Lytle, Mrs. Trout, and Mrs. Easton, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Okay. Thank you for volunteering for that, and look forward to your work. Now we move on to information items, and first one being the student representative report, Mr. Rexrock.
Thank you, Mr. Blevins. Before I get to my actual report, I would like to thank Layla for showing up tonight. I have the privilege of knowing her personally, and she exemplifies what Dallas Times is about. Very intelligent, very dedicated, and hardworking. I hope that there is a movement and there is a good resolution to the early graduation policy, because I think it's self-evident by her bravery to show up tonight and her research that she is worthy of an early graduation potentiality. Now, for the actual report, a lot has happened in our school, as I have now spilled onto a second page. So we hosted a 80-team pep rally on November 8th. It was emceed by seniors Halima Karoma, Nada Knowlton, Kyle Brunner, and myself. There were performances by the Black Student Union Step Team, Dallas County Performing Arts Club, and both VROTC drill teams. The musical Mamma Mia has been cast today. Those are out on our school website. The show will run April 2nd to the 5th, and rehearsals will start on January 6th. As previously mentioned by Dr. Dyer, our health staff held a health career summit over 700 students from 11 school districts, along with WellSpan assisting. Volunteer Club shipped out over 100 boxes and 5 artificial Christmas trees to more than 20 soldiers. Minithon will be holding several fundraisers this holiday season, including a paint night for ages 8 and up on November 26th, a community gift wrapping event, caroling in Dallas Town neighborhoods, and a silent auction of donated gift baskets in the high school. They are also currently holding a No Shave November contest between 6 high school teachers and administrators, and all proceeds benefit the 2020 Dallas Town Minithon and the Four Diamonds Foundation. Our Mental Health Awareness Club is doing Mental Health Mondays on the last Monday of every month. Each month has a different activity to bring awareness to mental health or to help break the stigma associated with it. Last month, the club placed positive comments all on the bathroom mirrors in the school. They created and sold Got Your Back Bag during finals to help students relieve stress, which contains a stress ball, chocolate, mints, and scratch stickers. Dallastown Performing Arts Club, their play Game of Tiaras had an excellent run this past weekend, and the Dallastown International Thespian Troupe number 7973 was very excited to have Dr. Bumstead and Dr. Dyer join them as they inducted 12 new members on this Tuesday. Our art department, York County, or York Community Scholars Exposition, featured 51 pieces of artwork from Dallastown High School students. 9 other high schools participated in the event and it showcased local art in York County. From the first exhibit, 21 of Dallastown students' pieces were selected by a jury for the finals exhibit. First place in the drawing category went to Elizabeth Fullman. Third place in the painting category for Kamala Dixon. Judge's Choice Award for Carrie Reuser on graphic design, and Judge's Choice Award for Griffin Keys for drawing. And Student Council, we are preparing for our annual Welcome to Winter Day festivities. So if anyone has any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
What an excellent report, and a lot to be proud of.
Very good.
Any questions? Mr. Noel has another commitment, so rest of your day job. Let's move on to the fall sports roundup and Mr. Shortino.
Good evening, everyone. We had a very successful fall sports season. I first want to thank the coaches, athletes, and our staff. Very important to be able to put such great events on in our high school without our support staff and our athletes and our coaches. Excuse me. I wanted to just highlight a few areas here and bring to your attention some. We don't have a lot of individual things when we send the reports in because there's so many of them. But I did want to highlight a few individual accomplishments this fall. Our boys and cross country girls, boys and girls cross country team had a great year. In our YAIA tournament, our girls team did win the championship. We had one boy, Rory McLeary, and 5 girls that qualified for the district championships. In the district championships, our team placed 3rd, which qualified them to go on to the state tournament. Our girls cross country team just had an amazing year. They finished 10th place in the state. Lydia Talarico, finished 22nd, Emily Shore, 23rd. Allie Myers, who did not medal, also participated in the state championship. We're very proud of them. Our golf team, we had a great year there. Mackenzie Knopf, one of our sophomores, won the YAIAA golf championship for girls and qualified to go on to the districts. We also had Colin Brown, Bobby Nicholson, Michael DeRose qualified for districts. Mackenzie, through district play, qualified to go on to the state championships, PIA championships. That's the top 18 girls in the state of Pennsylvania, and she's only a sophomore. So she did a great job. Boys soccer, we had an amazing year. The boys were undefeated all year long through our YAIA play, and we actually got as high as ranked as 10th in the USA Today. We won the our division championship, we won our YAA league championship, and we lost in the district, we were runners up in the district 3, which went on to the state championship, where we lost to LaSalle College, I always say college because it's a prep school, so LaSalle College High School, which is a prep school in Philadelphia. So we had to go out to District 1 to play them, and they had a disappointing loss out there, but just an amazing year, great year. And we actually have a young team, even though we have a few seniors who graduated. Coach Andrew Faust was also selected as Coach of the Year in the YAIAA. Our tennis team, another stellar year, Megan Saloga and Grace Hurd won the doubles championship for the YAIAA. They both went on to participate in District 3 tennis championships, and Megan also participated in the individual championships for District 3. Girls volleyball, last but not least, played a great year, and they had a great run in the YAIAA tournament. They actually beat three of the top 10 teams that were ranked in the state of Pennsylvania. They beat them three consecutive nights to win the YAIAA championship. So they had a great year. Once again, it's an honor to be able to work with such great athletes and coaches and a great support staff. And I want to thank everyone for all the support of our athletic and activity programs. Do we have any questions?
I just have a quick question. So I'm to understand there's only one girl on the girls' golf team?
Correct.
And this is probably the one year we have even one in a while.
Yes. I don't know how far back. Yeah.
As far as I can remember.
Correct, exactly. And I met her father when I went to the state championship. When I understand, he was two or three times state qualifier for Dallas time, right around 98, 99.
Any other questions or comments? Lots to be proud of.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Have a good evening.
Let's move on to new courses proposed for the 2021 school year. Dr. Marie.
Good evening. Today we have two high school courses to you. And before I get into the two courses, I'm going to share with you a little bit of revision that we've done this year in terms of looking at the courses. We've really made a renewed effort in looking at courses to make sure we follow two parameters. One, looking at the need for the course in terms of the career pathways. How does it fit? Where are our courses? Where do we need courses to fit into our pathways and to support the opportunities that we're providing for our students? And the other piece is really looking at the scheduling and the staffing. That's always an important piece. Before we bring a course to you, we want to make sure that we have the staff and that we can be able to get it into the schedule. So those are two important pieces that we really looked at. Just so you can see the timeline and the outline, we really made a renewed effort to make sure that those are the two pieces that we're looking at. And then once we move through those pieces with high school administration and we move through that with the curriculum instruction office, then we really look at another piece and what's the outline look like? What's the summary of the course look like? Some of the courses in the past, we haven't done all of those detailed pieces. So we've been trying to put some more details in so that we know where we're going with it, what we're doing in the course, just to shore up and tighten up some things in looking at new courses and opportunities for our students. And then we come to you with this informational item tonight with two courses, and we'll look for an action item in December. And then we look at getting those courses, if they're approved, into the course selection guide, and then we look to our counselors and to our staff and really getting those courses and those opportunities out to our students as they're looking at scheduling for next fall. So that's kind of just the progression and the place we go. So without any further delay, now that you know where we're going, what we're doing, we have two courses, one being Honors Digital Marketing. This course has actually been in the works for several years. Mr. Donatelli and his staff every year come to us and say, we want Honors Digital Marketing, we want Honors Digital Marketing. And for the past couple of years, we've had to say, you have the staff, and then we go to high school administration, right? No, we don't have the staff where we can't get that in the schedule right now. We finally are to the point where we have the staff for the Honors Digital Marketing. So they're thrilled, absolutely excited that we have the staff, and now the idea of teaching this course and moving it forward can go. It definitely is going to be a career pathway connection in our marketing component that we have in the business department. It will be offered to students in grades 11 and 12. And it really is a course that looks at the business component of that digital marketing. How do we market? What are the strategies for marketing? They will focus on the social media piece, the email marketing, the banner ads, the social media analytics, which I'm learning at my house with a college kid in a broadcast world. Social media analytics is its own entity. It's its own courses. It's its own level of study. It's very cool stuff. So it's really interesting that our students are going to have that opportunity to look at that analytical piece of it. So it's the data piece of it. It's the data component that comes out of it, and the digital branding, which all you need. It's our world, and so it's really a great opportunity for our students to be able to have an opportunity with an honors digital marketing class. The next course that we're bringing to you is another course that's been in the works for the last several years. Last 2-3 years, we've really been looking at this, and I thank Mrs. Vinegar and Mrs. McCauley for really, and Dr. Fletcher for rolling their sleeves up and grinding away at this. It was born from a conversation with some students about how do we meet those diverse needs, and how do we start to look at some of the needs of our students. And so from that has come an African-American literature course that we would like to propose. When looking at the pathways, this one has a little bit of a different twist, but the piece that we want to focus on is cultural literacy and the literature component, but the cultural piece of it. And where's the cultural literacy as well as the communication piece that goes along with it? And interestingly enough, at the business leaders meeting last week, for those of you who were there, out of the tables of conversation from just the general conversation about business leaders, from several of the tables came a conversation about students becoming more culturally responsive and students developing communication skills to be able to interact in a culturally responsible way. And so I was thinking to myself as they were sharing, oh gosh, this is just where we're going with this. We're tying this around literature and English and really talking about those pieces. So this is a lifelong skill. It really fits any pathway. It fits any college, any career-ready component. So this course is not necessarily focused in a pathway, but it's a lifelong skill. It's part of the skill set that we're looking to develop with some of our students. So in this course, they will look at the diversity piece, the often underrepresented voices that have contribute to the shaping of the landscape of American literature, so it's focused around American literature. They're going to look at analysis of modern works, as well as look at those pieces of works from the origins of African American literature, and looking at those pieces and how they've evolved through literature and how they've evolved through literary trends and experiences and how they impact the experiences of today. So a lot of connection to the modern world as well as those pieces we've looked. We have been heavily looking to the Norton Anthology of African American Literature, which will be our text, which is an incredible collection of very, very solid literature pieces to give our students that background and that basis. So with that being said, those are our two courses. I have some syllabus pieces outlines if anyone would like to see them in greater detail as we consider and can answer any questions.
Dr. Freed, just a quick question. After the genesis of these ideas, do you survey the students to see if there's a desire on their part to pursue these courses? Like, do you have an initial number as far as
we do an official survey? No, but as we talk with the departments and the administration, they've run the informally surveyed students. And we won't run the course unless we have 10. That's what we look for to run it, so we're hopeful. And we won't put something together that we think we won't have that number of students.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions? Sounds like a nice improvement to the process, so thank you very much.
Actually, Dr. Correa, I have a question. Let me preface my question with a comment first, so my question isn't misinterpreted. I think that any literature class, any class that studies literature is a plus. I think that anything we can give our students in study of literature, and of course the digital marketing is a field that's near and dear to my personal heart. So the question isn't about these, but just thinking about the question that Mr. Wingard asked, the course selection guide is pretty big. The process to evaluate and determine what new courses to add Do we have a similar process in place for courses that maybe are no longer pertinent or relevant that we pull out of that guide as well?
High school administration will, and with through guidance and through numbers, will look at that each year and they evaluate whether we would offer those courses or not. And there have been courses that we have pulled because we don't have the numbers. And then we're looking at our pathways, we're really looking at some of those courses and their connections to the pathways.
And if they fit.
And are they valuable, are they doable, do they fit? Because we do have some courses that may potentially fit. So that's really department and high school administration will look at those pieces.
So that process isn't.
Yes, there is.
That's all I wanted to know.
You will recall, this is a point of reference, when we went through the trimester, we revised every single course at the high school. So we did a major, tremendous audit of not only went through the trimester model, action. So, but to her point, that's the process moving forward. We look at that.
And we continue to look at that. Yeah, it's an ongoing process that we keep things up there.
Great. I wasn't here for that, so thank you for clarifying. That's all I want to know. Thank you, Doc, for coming.
Thank you very much, and I guess this will be an action item.
Action item next meeting, yes. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The Buildings and Capital Projects Committee met last Thursday, on the 14th. We had an abbreviated meeting and really only one significant agenda item, and that was the update on the Munderville Springfield project. And the minutes are attached for your review. Suffice it to say that the project is going very well. A week or so delay in turning over of phase one, but it's a remarkable progress. We went on the tour today, and it's just amazing to see what happens in the course of a couple of weeks at this stage of the project. So, any questions or comments, Mr. Ed, do you have anything here?
No, just very happy with the progress. And again, at the table, it's very grateful for the team that's around the table.
Let's move on to the Finance Committee report. Mr. Hartman.
Thank you, Mr. Blevins. The Finance Committee met last week. The minutes are attached. I thank Mrs. Kirby for the minutes because I think it summarized the meeting very well. And if the board hasn't looked down yet, I encourage you to take a peek and also the key points of discussion. It might jog some of the memory if you were not from the memory if you weren't there. But so jog the memory of those who were there and create some discussion of those who were not. But just real quick highlight, AIA was here, who is our healthcare consultants, and we talk about healthcare a lot, and we're going to continue to talk about healthcare a lot because it's a call to power, of course. Mr. Warwell went over the budget, and then we also talked about some of the action items which we approved earlier this evening. So, unless there's any questions, that's your report, and I encourage you to take a look at the minutes. Okay.
Good. Any questions or comments? I would add that the projections that Mr. Werbal gave for the current fiscal year are showing a bit of a deficit, and we're hoping that that doesn't turn out to be true, but it's an indication of the ongoing challenges that we have ahead of us with our general fund budget, because of all the pressures that are applied to it, and growing needs for things like facility needs and safety enhancements and additional staff, et cetera. I guess the point is our budgeting process is certainly not gonna get easier. It's gonna be a more difficult challenge, and the quest for cost containment and cost control is more important than ever. So thank you. The SBA report, the liaison report, Mr. Benson.
Thank you. A lot of stuff's going around again with some of the recent school violence that has been going on. And this is a little bit of a follow-up, but it gives more detailed assessment model and preventing the school violence. What the idea of this report from the Secret Service is to identify students of concern, assess their risk for engaging in violence or other harmful activities, and then to implement intervention strategies to manage that risk. And then the way they talk, they say the threshold for intervention should be so low that the schools can identify students in distress before their behavior escalates to the level of eliciting concerns about safety. As we all know, most of these attacks happen and end very quickly. Law enforcement rarely has the opportunity to intervene before serious harm is caused. And additionally, many of the schools that experience these tragedies, and I would say that we implement some of these things, like physical security measures, cameras, resource officers, lockdown procedures, you know, that can stop any of these opportunities for violence. And their key point is prevention is the key. And I'm not going to highlight everything, but here's some of the profiles. And the first one, there is no profile of the student attacker, nor is there a profile for the type of school that's been targeted. Most attackers use firearms and they were gotten from the home. All attackers experience social stressors involving their relationships with peers and or romantic partners. Nearly every attacker experienced negative home-life factors. Most attackers were victims of bullying, which was often observed by others. And then here's one of the ones I thought was a little interesting. And they have statistics and percentages from the study that we encompassed from, I think, 2008 to 2017. So they have got a lot of good information, but one of the stressors is academic/disciplinary. 89% had experienced school stressors related to academic or disciplinary actions, including failing grades or school suspension. More than half of the attackers, 60%, had both academic and disciplinary issues. And then for 7 of the attackers, 20%, the disciplinary issue at school was the most recent stressor experienced prior to the attack. So I think we do a lot of stuff with the bullying, and I think we do a good job everywhere, but I would imagine if we would take this report to heart, and I don't know how much more we could do, but you're not going to stop. The only way you can do it, once it starts, you have to prevent it. So there's a lot of really good information in here, the statistic. So that's something we could probably look at sometimes. But I know Dr. Dahl looks at a lot of that stuff.
And I do appreciate, Mr. Dyke, also in charge of safety and security for our district, is digesting that report as well.
And then the only thing on the PSBA thing, the big hot topic that went on this week was House Bill 1800, had to do with the tuition grants, and it specifically was for Harrisburg School District. They're pushing basically vouchers again, and the PSBA is strongly against it, and it didn't get out of the House committee, but then they're thinking in December again. I'm just one member, and I know I brought this up in committee meetings already. I don't know what the right answer is, but I hate to be the one that tells somebody that the school district they're in is not working for them. To say you have to stay there. What their right answer is, I don't know. But continually keeping someone where they're not succeeding, I don't think it's the answer. And then the only other thing, the Senate Bill 751, that's just talking again about the classroom observation, using the observation more so than the test scores. They're still looking at that, and that's getting ready to be voted on in the Senate. That's it. Thank you.
Any questions or comments for Mr. Benson? Okay, let's move on to the LIU report. Mrs. Houston.
Thank you. This relatively, normal meeting, nothing that earth shattering. They did give us a presentation on the progress report for the LIU comp plan, and that is something that they are looking at. We're coming to the end of it, so they're working on the new comp plan. So they've started that process. And then also to the ballot for new LIU board members will be going out to district, member districts. we will be having eight, I mean, there'll be five empty spots as of December. So out of 13 board members, we will only have eight returning in January. That is it.
Including some of your key leadership, is that correct?
Correct. We have two officers who did not make it through an election, so there leaves, that leaves one officer, which is me.
Any questions for Mrs. Houston? Okay. Do you want to move on to the York Adams Academy report?
Yes. You will notice a new report attached instead of all the stuff that I attached prior. They are now doing a similar board brief that the LIU does, which is very nice and concise. So it's very easy for you guys to look through what we did. Two main things, we are starting the process of our new budget, and we hope to have that done to send to, for us to vote in January, so the districts will have it after our January meeting. And then graduation, winter graduation is December 10th. So if anyone is interested in attending that, it is a great graduation. One, it's very quick, it's about 45 minutes long, but it's very inspirational. They usually have three of the students speak, and they're always very good speakers, and it's just, it's heartwarming to know what we do for our students and what opportunity we provide for them. So please let me know if anyone wants to attend.
Very good. How many, do you know how many off the top of your head, how many Dallastown students are currently enrolled?
I believe the last count we were at 10 out of our 12 seats. Mm-hmm. And that will fluctuate mm-hmm. as students either complete their graduation requirements or for some reason withdraw. But yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for both of those reports. Let's move on to the York County School of Technology, Mr. Lightley.
Thank you, Mr. Blevins. Last October's meeting was the same night as our board meeting. I was on people that attended theirs. I stayed here. The minutes are attached for your information. I would like to take a moment, though, and let you know that Dallastown senior, Patrick McLean, was recognized as a student of the month. There were about six of them. So Patrick was one of them. He's in the precision metal machining pathway. So I just want to make sure he got some recognition. Really well for us. For those of you who aren't aware, this is from the JOC, who's in charge of the operations of the York County School of Technology. I'm also the representative for what's called the authority as well, and that's the asset holder for the school. So they've met periodically, sporadically over time. It's getting more regular now because of the building project that now is going on there as well. So they are doing the gym. It's moving forward very well. The site work is complete. I just want to give you an update. It is a new building that will be attached through a corridor to the current facility. And I just want to give you enough of an update that, again, the pricing is favorable. It meets our budget. We think it's going to go all right. What I'd like to report is similar to Loganville. They're through moving the dirt work. The footers are in. So a lot of our contingency that was budgeted should be realized and could be used somewhere else. So it's just giving us a higher level. Again, the project's only probably 10% complete coming up out of the ground. But with it being new construction and with the site work already done without finding rock, we're feeling pretty good about the way the budget will be impacted and I don't think I'll be coming to you for any additional lines. So I just want to make sure we get it in the minutes. Thank you.
Any questions for Mr. Lightley? Thank you for the report. Last but certainly not least, the York Adams Tax Bureau, Mr. Pantano.
The York Adams Tax Bureau had their meeting on October 28th, along with the Tax Collection Committee. I was not able to attend, but the minutes from both of those meetings are attached for reference.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Pantano? Okay, that completes our information items. The conference requests are attached for your review. And now's the time for any board comments or correspondence.
I did three exciting things this last one, which was super exciting. I judged at the Forensics Invitational, which is the Station Debate Club. I guess Dallastown hosted an invitational, and I took Ms. Deschaux up on her offer to be a judge, and wow, it was super amazing. Not a single all day. but that was, there you go. It was very exciting. I really enjoyed it. I was so nervous the first time around, and they didn't seem to be nervous at all, so now I'm really enjoying it. I can't wait to do it again. I also served Thanksgiving meal, which was very exciting, alongside Dr. Dyer. His hat was much better than mine. I had a red hairnet. That was very exciting, and I attended the business advisory meeting that Dr. Dyer mentioned earlier. Right, it was a fun time.
Great. Thanks for all your extra effort on the app. Appreciate it. Any other comments, questions?
Yeah, I'd like to thank Mr. Smith and Nor Valley. I have the pleasure. I served once twice. In the elementary.
Did you have to wear
a
hairnet too?
I did not have a beautiful hat. I will say at the elementary level, my best takeaway there was that kindergartners don't like stuffing. I also served, thank you, Mr. Oso and Dr. Peters. I served in middle school as well. And I also attended the business advisory, so it was a good experience. I agree. If it is competition, I'm going to go before next time. Thank you.
I guess that makes me the slacker because I only did two. But I did do the business advisory as well, and I was just blown away. I was grateful that they did reconstitute that body. I think there was a lot of appreciation at the table for the updates from you all to let them know where the program stood, where it was going, and how it was aligning with our curriculum. It did give us a lot more impact, and we got the preview of how curriculum could be expanded but identified with pathways. So I thought, even as a board member and being here, I thought it was incredibly rewarding, and just to see what it could do for our kids, you could just see it taking note, and there's a lot of good feedback. I also served lunch at Loganville. I did not require a hairnet, though. I don't know why. But it was a great experience. I'll tell you, Mr. Blevins joined me as well. And just seeing their smiles kind of keeps it in perspective of why you're here and why you do the job, and the staff coming in as well with them and the leadership. It's just amazing. It's just infectious to see the smiles and the goodwill and just the kids living their life and just enjoying every day. So, again, happy holidays. Thank you.
I, as Mr. Lytle said, I also enjoyed serving at Loganville. I was a little worried because Mr. Lytle was serving and he was dipping pretty heavy, so I was afraid you were going to burn the food, but it lasted. And I got to circulate around the cafeteria and help kids that needed help getting stuff open and stuff like that. And that was a lot of fun because I got to interact with them one-on-one. And what a great bunch of kids. And the discipline that they show is amazing. I don't remember cafeteria being that orderly and controlled. And I don't think they were put on the show, but it was pretty impressive. So, very enjoyable.
I was struck at how polite so many of them
were.
Really polite.
And if I can, sorry, I'm going to double dip, but one story that came to mind me, the young kid asked for a straw. Mr. Blevins was on straw duty, and he had trouble opening up the nozzle, and I said, why don't you use a straw? He goes, no, we don't get straws. And of course, I jumped to the environmental concerns that my daughters have taught me, that we don't use straws anymore. It's not correct. And I said, oh, is that for environmental reasons? She goes, no, the third graders keep blowing bubbles. So, it was just maybe one of those out-of-mouth babes.
Any other comments for the board? Okay. This is our second and final opportunity for public comment. Anyone has a comment, please come forward. Calendar of events is attached for your review. And this meeting is adjourned.
November 20th.